you got an eye on it, right?
It's a rabbit.
Okay.
Shavua Tov. It's really exciting that this is the third event. The Young Israel Woodmere is hosting. This is the second event that we are hosting. And I was just speaking to Rabbi Schachter, and he has committed, and I think we're committed to make this happen much more often, because the energy of such an event is really incredible. The first time, I think we were nervous about what the crowd would be, and I think we see now that although the men are outnumbered, but yes. But I think that it's really incredible that so many people are coming out. You know, they say that Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol because it feels very long because there are so many speeches. So after a Shabbos HaGadol, for so many people to come out for more and to get more inspiration and more and grow more is really an incredible thing. I just want to make sure that everybody is aware of the Young Israel has a college organization, a college program. We have a minyan every single Shabbos. The Shabbos we had over 70 men. We had 15, 20 women join us. Men outnumbered the women there. But we had a Shal Shudas. We had a Shabbos HaGadol speech this afternoon. And we'd love for everybody who is around to come and join us on a weekly basis if you're around. Rabbi Schachter, who is going to be joining the Young Israel of Woodmere starting the summer as the Rosh Beis Medrash, will also be around. We're going to be looking at continuing to develop programs for the college age group. And, you know, stay tuned, because hopefully you'll all be able to join us. Rabbi Schachter right now is at YU. And we're really looking forward. He's also at the White Shul, and we're looking forward to him joining us. Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg is a Rebbe at YU, and he will be speaking after Rav Schachter, but also a very inspirational person. So I hope you enjoy, and as we continue to develop the program, hope you'll continue to come and join us.
Shouldn't stand. She's standing up for me.
You all should stand because this is the person who's responsible.
Not really. Thanks everyone so much for coming tonight. As part of a wonderful group of people who work to try to create these opportunities by coming, it's going to motivate us and hopefully you guys to make more of these events. To be able to bring esteemed speakers and rabbis like Rav Shai Schachter and Moshe Tzvi Weinberg to, again, right before, as Rav Fogel was pointing out, it's right before Pesach. It's a great opportunity to learn about it and not only learn substance, but also style and inspiration. And with the speakers that we have tonight, I think we have a real unique opportunity. So thanks so much for coming, and hopefully we'll continue to be able to create more of these opportunities. And here's Rav Shai Schachter. Oh, and by the way, this shiurim tonight are for Refuah Shleima for Dvorah, Rachel Bas Miriam Chava, Tzipora Bas Gila, and Gila Bas Francis.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Too close? You're okay?
No.
Okay.
Good.
Just want to make sure you can hear. That's all. So Rabbi Fogel mentioned that now we're holding a Shabbos HaGadol. I mean, now we're not any longer, but we were holding by Shabbos HaGadol, and there's all sorts of explanations that are given. But Shabbos HaGadol really is because at this point in the year, big things happen. Big things happen collectively, and big things happen personally. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. I was really told, you know, my introduction was that I'm supposed to be inspirational. I must tell you, I don't think I'm the most inspirational personality. And I thought that I was supposed to give the halacha part of this evening and leave up the inspiration to Rav Moshe Tzvi, because he is very inspiring to all of us. So I'll try my best to be a little bit inspiring, but first we'll talk a little bit halacha, and then we'll get into the rest of what we're supposed to talk about tonight. So this Thursday night, as we all know, we're going to have the mitzvah, the great opportunity of being mekayim, bedikas chametz. And as we know, bedikas chametz is something which is discussed at length in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, in the Gemaras, in the Shulchan Aruch. It's discussed with many different questions that might come up, and we get many shadas as Rabbanim. What do I do if I'm going away for Pesach? What do I do if I'm going to be in a hotel? What do I do if I'm going away at this point in the week, that point in the week? There are many different questions that come up, but to my knowledge, there is one practice that we find cross-spectrum. And I think this is something that every community, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, I think all communities in the world have this practice, and that is the practice of putting out 10 pieces of bread before we begin to do the Bedikas Chametz. So I want to discuss tonight, what is that all about? Where did it come from? Maybe from there, we'll give a context to some words of inspiration which will lead us toward Rav Moshe Tzvi's presentation. So we find already in the Rishonim, the Ravid writes in the Tmim Deim, other Rishonim write the same thing. Now what is this all about? The putting out the pieces of bread. Maybe if we can help the women, maybe the men should move up. And we'll give some more room for the women to sit down. We should be embarrassed that we're outnumbered. We should be. Okay, there's plenty of room. Okay, so the Ravid writes in the Tmim Deim, the Ravid, when he discusses this minig of putting out the 10 pieces of bread before one begins to do the Bedikas Chametz, the Ravid says, minig nashimu, in honor of all the women, says the Ravid, this is a minig nashim, I don't know where it came from, I'm not sure what the source of this practice actually is, and he says this is something that really does not have a halachic source as far as I am concerned. This is what the Ravid writes, and similarly we find in other Rishonim, Mpsachim, Dav Zayin, they write the same thing, that they don't really know what the origin of this practice is, they don't know where it came from. In fact, the Aruch HaShem writes that even though there were some that had the practice that they put out the 10 pieces of bread, what is this all about? Says the Aruch HaShem, the reason why they did it was for the following purpose. What's going to happen? I'm going to go and clean out my whole house for Pesach. I don't wake up Erev Pesach and start cleaning down. I clean out for weeks in advance. Now it comes the night of Erev Pesach. Is my house really going to have chametz in it? Probably not. Probably not. So says the Aruch HaShem, the reason why we began this minig is really because we were concerned that a person's going to make a bracha. What bracha do we make on the night of Bedikas Chametz? We don't say Al Bedikas Chametz, we say Al Bir Chametz. What am I making a bracha on? That seemingly I'm going to go around my house, I'm going to find pieces of Chametz, and that is what I'm going to destroy the next day. So now, says the Aruch HaShem, going to happen? I make this bracha Al Bir Chametz, and then it comes to time to check out for the Chametz, and I don't find anything. So now my bracha is a bracha Levatela. What did I make a bracha on? I'm searching, I don't find anything. So this is really where the practice developed. However, the Aruch HaShem says, I'm not sure what this is all about. And he says, Mikol makom, ein lachush lazeh. We don't have to be concerned about this worry that maybe my bracha is going to be a bracha levatala. Lefisha datenu kshem avarchem al bir chametz. When I get up and make a bracha, al bir chametz, before checking my house for the chametz, what do I have in mind? Shenevar hakol im nimtza. What do I have in mind when I make that bracha? What I have in mind is, if I happen to find pieces of chametz while I'm checking out my house, then I will go and destroy them. Just because I might check my house and not find anything means my bracha is going to be a bracha levatala? No, right now I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And therefore, he writes that he doesn't know where this practice comes from. The Shibali Aleka talks about it also, and he says, I don't understand what this is all about. However, he quotes his brother, Rav Binyamin, not sure exactly who that is, but he says one of the great Rishonim, his brother Rav Binyamin, writes that he did think it was a good idea. So we already find that the Rishonim had this discussion about whether or not one has to put out the 10 pieces of chametz before performing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, in order to make sure that when making the bracha on the Bedikas Chametz, it won't turn out to be a bracha levatela. So it's an interesting discussion. Says the Bir Agro, the Vilna Gaon writes in Shulchan Aruch, when he discusses the mitzvah in Siman Taf Lamed Beis, when he talks about the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, says the Vilna Gaon, I have a proof, I'll bring you a raya, that one does not have to put out the 10 pieces of chametz. How do I know this? Simply, he says, the Gemara says, Mesachim Daf Yud, Lo badak or la arba asar. What if a person, for whatever reason, he's in the hospital, he's not able to check, he's not able to do a Bedikas Chametz on the night of Bedikas Chametz. So now comes Pesach, and now he comes home. Yivdok ba'arba asar. Let's say he comes home, instead of being there at night, he's in the hospital, he comes home in the morning. So he should check in the morning. What if he doesn't have a chance to check in the morning, he's still in the hospital, and he gets out on Chol HaMoed? So it says, Yivdok ba'chol HaMoed. Go around your house and start checking the house for Chametz on Chol HaMoed. Lo badek betoch hamoed. Let's say I don't have a chance to even check on Chol HaMoed, so it says, Yivdok la'achar hamoed. Go ahead and check after Yom Tov is over. This is what the Vilna Gaon says, and not only that, he's quoting the Gemara, not only do we find that the Gemara says a person should even have the opportunity to check for the chametz after Pesach is over, or Al HaMoed, but simply The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both say that even when you're doing a bedikah after the time when you're supposed to do it, one would recite a bracha when doing so. So says the Vilna Gaon, I don't understand. How can you recite a bracha? How can you recite a bracha? Anyone following? How can you recite a bracha if you go and check your house for the chametz on Pesach itself? What if I don't find anything? What if I don't find anything? Then it's going to turn out that my bracha is a bracha levatola. What do you mean? So you'll say, go put out 10 pieces of chametz. I can't put out 10 pieces of chametz. It's Pesach. It's Chol HaMoed. So, says the Vilna Gaon, from the fact that we're not concerned about this on the time when the person checks on Chol HaMoed itself, when he checks his house for the chametz, if he didn't have a chance to check before, so then that seems to indicate that there wouldn't be an issue even on Erev Pesach when I'm going to check for the chametz. I don't have to be concerned about the issue of bracha levatola. Why is that? Because the reason why I'm reciting this bracha right now is not because I hope to find the chametz and therefore my bracha is only chal if I go and I find chametz in my house. No, my bracha just means to say that I am going ahead and doing the mitzvah that God told me to do. Right now, God asked me to go ahead and check out my house for chametz. If I happen to find anything, good. If I don't find anything, also fine. Yeah.
So why can't we say a bracha for anything may possibly happen? I could say a bracha for me, for example. I could say bracha lani of tefillin. So when I put on tefillin, that bracha will be...
No. So the mitzvah, it's an okay question. However, there's a big difference.
I try.
That's good. Keep trying. You'll get there. So there's a big difference between lahaniach tefillin and the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. What's the difference? Difference is, right now I have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. I have a mitzvah to go and light Shabbos candles, right?
Yeah.
So if I don't have Shabbos candles in front of me, you can't say, oh, let's make a bracha, and what's going to happen? Maybe they'll fly down from Shemayim. Right now my mitzvah, Chazal told me the mitzvah is to go and be bodek my house for chametz. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. If I don't find chametz, okay, matov manam, so don't find the chametz, move on with life, it's okay. If you don't find tefillin, you don't find candles to light for Shabbos, you can't just recite a bracha and assume that if candles happen to come out of space, that's going to be able to be used. So how do we paskin? So the Rama writes famously, in Siman Taf Lamed Bey, he says, the Rama v'nogin la'aniach p'sisei ha'chametz b'makam she'imtzem ha'bodek, kidei shelo tehei brachas ha'levatala. Says the Rama, yes, we have discussions in the Rishonim, is it the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do, you do have to do it, you don't have to do it, says the Rama, I feel that the right thing to do is to put out the 10 pieces of chametz just to be sure that your bracha is not going to be a bracha levatela. What's going to be if you don't find 10 pieces of chametz? What's going to be if you look around your house, you don't find anything? Okay, so because we're concerned about this, says the Rama, you have to make sure to put it out. Says the Yaivitz, who's a later commentary, he's the son of the Chacham Tzvi, the Yaivitz writes, my father, the Chacham Tzvi, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. My father knew everything. And he says, my father also knows everything, so I know what it feels like. So says the Yaivitz, he says, Hagon mar aviv ha-chacham tzvi ha-yaloi gala manichim sisim. My father, the Chacham Tzvi, used to make fun of the people who put on a piece of bread. Where does this come from? I don't understand. Why do you make this up? Where does it come, this whole idea? So he says, my father, the Chacham Tzvi, felt the whole thing's a mistake. So you find that this discussion continued to go on after the Rama paskin that it's the right thing to do. Didn't stop there. Chacham Tzvi obviously said the Rama's wrong. The Yaivitz writes the Rama's wrong. And everyone's fighting back and forth. So I believe there has to be more behind this issue than just the issue of Bedikas Chametz itself. And as we'll see, we do find this issue in many other contexts in Halacha, as we'll explore in a couple of minutes. Says the Shari Tshuva, just something to keep in mind. The Shari Tshuva writes, yes, even for those who have the practice to go and put 10 pieces of Chametz out in the house, Shari Tshuva says one should be careful to put pieces of Chametz that are smaller than a kezayis. Why? Because what's going to happen if you forget where you put it? So now you're up the creek. You go and you hide 10 pieces of chametz, and then you go to Bedikas chametz, and now you can't find them. So stam, a good idea is you should write down on a piece of paper where you put them. But not everybody does that. So what's going to happen, says the Shari Tshuva, if you put out 10 pieces of chametz, some of them are larger than a kezayis, and now it's going to turn out that you have kezayis chametz in your house on Pesach, and you're the one who put it there. You're the one who put it there. So says the Shari Tshuva, this is why it's a good idea to make sure that they should be smaller than the size of a kezayis. What about someone who goes away before Pesach and he does a bedikas chametz? Let's say I'm flying to Eretz Yisrael, so I'm leaving on Wednesday, and I want to do bedikas chametz. The din is, by the way, for those who are going away, you have to do bedikas chametz the last night you're going to your house before Pesach. So even if you're going away to somewhere outside of your own home, you have to do bedikas chametz the last night that you're going to be there. However, you don't do it with a bracha. So therefore, since you don't recite a bracha when you do the bedikas chametz, so this whole discussion falls out the window. Because the whole reason why you possibly should put out the 10 pieces of bread is only because maybe your bracha is going to be a bracha levatala, because you're going and making a bracha al beer chametz, and it turns out you don't have any chametz in the house, you're not going to find anything. So if you're going away early and you're not going to recite a bracha at all because you're doing an earlier bedikas chametz, so then there's no concern at all, and you certainly would not have to put out the 10 pieces of chametz. It is said in the name of the Shabina Rav, he was a great gadol who lived in Yerushalayim, He said, well, what kind of business is this? So we put out 10 pieces of chametz, what? Like, you don't know what's there? What does this mean? You go and you hide something, and then you go and you get, like, am I going to say, okay, I'm going to hide my watch. Anybody know where it is? Let me go make a bracha, al bedikas hawat. Like, what is this? It says that you're being heard. I don't understand. Everybody knows I just put it here, and now I'm going and making a bracha that I should go and find it, but I just put it there. What kind of finding is that? That's not called finding. I put it here, so of course I'm finding it. Yes, they have all the stories written about the person who couldn't find his glasses, even though it was on his head. Okay, we're not such big tamei chacham that we forget what's on our heads. Most people know when they put something down, they know where they put it. So what do you mean? You go and you make a bracha because you're putting out the 10 pieces of bread. It sounds like a joke. It's explained to Shabina Rav beautifully. He says, the Gemara writes him, Sachem Andav Zayin. I'll read you the Gemara. And the Gemara says, how do we know this whole concept of Bedikas Chametz in the first place? Where does it come from? It says the Shabina Rav that the Gemara writes as follows. Minohani Mili, how do we know there's a concept of going with a candle and checking every little crevice in the house to see if there's chametz there? So as he says, the Gemara writes, Amar Rav Chisda, Lamadnu Metzia, Mi Metzia, Metzia, Mi Chipas, Chipas. You're not following? I don't either. But the Gemara says that there's a whole list of drushas where we learn that you're supposed to do the Bedikas Chametz. Says the Gemara, what's the first pasuk that we learn it from? What do we have there? Remember?
So that's
the last part of the drasha. You're correct. See, I told you. See, so the Gemara writes, we know each other. Don't worry, we're friends. So the Gemara says, where do we learn this whole din of bedikas chametz from? So the Gemara brings a pasuk by Binyamin. What's the story by Binyamin? So all the brothers go down to Mitzrayim, and now they're leaving Mitzrayim. They're going back to their father Yaakov to tell him what happened in Mitzrayim. So for those who recall, the pasuk tells us that something was placed in the bag of Amtachas Binyamin. Something was placed in the bag of Binyamin. And then they come searching to see where is this gabia, where is this silver cup that was put in somebody's bag, somebody stole it. So it says that they go and they look through it and they find it by Amtachas Binyamin. Oh, amazing! Binyamin must be the one who stole it, and they go and they arrest Binyamin. Says the Shabina Rav. Well, who was checking through those bags to see where it was? The servants of Yosef, correct? And may I ask, who's the one who put it there in the first place? The servants of Yosef. The whole thing was a setup. Yet the pasuk still calls it mitziah. The pasuk still calls that a chippus. They were going and checking through to see, oh, maybe we'll find something in Binyamin's bag. What do you mean, maybe you'll find something? You know you're going to find it. It was there. You put it there. Says the Shabina Rav. You see a ready idea. The whole Gemara Mesachim learns out. The whole idea of Bedikas Chametz, we learn it out from Binyamin, because the pasuk used the lashon of mitziah by Binyamin, that we found something, says the Shabina Rav. You see, you can talk about the phraseology of finding something, even if you know you put it there in the first place. So don't ask me, how can you put out 10 pieces of chametz? What do you mean? How can you make a bracha al bedikas chametz? You know that you put it there. It's not called finding. Well, says the Shabina Rav. The whole mucker, the whole source for the bedikas chametz in the first place is learned from a situation where we know it was placed there by the person who put it. He went and he found it, yet the pasuk calls it finding. So Zakti Shabina Rav, you see that there's nothing wrong with our practice that we have in I think many, many communities to put out the 10 pieces of chametz that would still be called a proper bedika, and that's not really going to ruin what we're trying to do. So let's see, I think we find similar types of issues by other cases in halacha. And that is, for example, the Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Samach, says the Gemara, Nichnas l'na mitaso, somebody who goes to sleep at night, on a regular night, forget Pesach for a minute, Mevarech birchas hamapil chevle shena al enai. So we know we have a bracha of hamapil chevle shena. So even though the Gemara says, you just say birchas hamapil chevle shena, the Rambam writes, obviously, the Mordechai writes this as well, in brachas, that obviously it means, Baruch atah Hashem, you make a bracha with shema malchus, not a half a bracha. So you say a whole bracha, just the Gemara says, a shortened version of the bracha. Like I think Soloveitchik used to say, the Gemara is not a siddur. So the Gemara didn't have to list every bracha and say it. The later Rishonim explained exactly how one is supposed to go ahead and say it. So the Elia Rabba, who's one of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, writes in Simen Reish Lamates, he points out from the Knesset HaGdolah, how do we go ahead and make a bracha before we go to sleep at night? Maybe I won't fall asleep. Sound familiar? Very similar to our question we started with. How do you make a bracha b'dikas chametz? Maybe I won't find anything. So that's the question that the Elia Rabba asks. How do I make hamapel chevle shena at night if maybe I won't fall asleep? Now, parenthetically, there's a very similar kasha that's found in Tosfos in Brachas on Daf Yud Aleph. We know that there's a mitzvah on Sukkot, there's a mitzvah to eat, there's a mitzvah to drink in the Sukkah, there's a mitzvah to learn in the Sukkah, a mitzvah to do all sorts of things in the Sukkah. How much time do we have?
As much as you want.
Truth is, the real reason why I agreed to speak tonight is because this way I have the zchus to hear Rav Moshe Tzvi. So I really don't want to take away too much of his time. It's a tremendous zchus to be together with Rav Moshe Tzvi on a program. We should have many, many more, and Yirbu Kamosa B'Yisrael, we should have many, many more in Klal Yisrael like Rav Moshe Tzvi, who take after his example of inspiring all of us.
Amen.
So back to where we started. So we have this kasha over here. The Gemara says about Hamapil Chevli Shena. The Gemara says that you're supposed to make a bracha before you go to sleep. Says the El Yerabba, how do you make a bracha before you go to sleep? Maybe you won't fall asleep. It's a bracha levatela. So we have a similar question that's found, and Tosis writes in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph. Tosis says, we have a mitzvah, not only should one eat in the sukkah, not only should one drink in the sukkah, not only should one learn in the sukkah, but one should also make sure to sleep in the sukkah. So Tosis has a discussion. Well, why don't we make a bracha? If we make a bracha, leishe basukkah, when I sit down to eat a meal, so why not make a bracha, lishon basukkah, when I go to sleep in the sukkah? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, just like eating in the sukkah is a mitzvah, so sleeping in the sukkah is also a mitzvah. So how come I don't make a bracha, lishon basukkah? So Tosis here has two different opinions as to why we don't make a bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah. Reason number one, says the Ri, because maybe I won't fall asleep. So how can I make a bracha lisha masukkah? Maybe in the end I won't fall asleep. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's not the reason why you don't make a bracha. The reason why you don't make a bracha is because when you sit down to have a meal and you say leisha basukkah, so that counts for everything. You don't have to make a separate bracha. We don't say every little kazayas that you eat in the sukkah, you have to keep making brachas over and over again. No, it's one generic bracha that you make. Leishe basukkah, and that includes not only my sitting, not only my drinking, not only my learning, and everything else, but it includes my going to sleep also. So what do you see? You see the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam are having a disagreement as to, are we concerned by the bracha of hamapil chevli shena? I'm sorry, are we concerned by the bracha of leishe basukkah? Are we concerned that maybe you won't fall asleep? The Ri says, well, the reason you don't recite a bracha before going to sleep in the sukkah is because maybe you won't fall asleep. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's not a reason not to make a bracha. The reason is for outside considerations, because you're ready to make a bracha leisha basukkah, and that counts for the sleeping. But Rabbeinu Tam in principle would believe that you should make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah. We're not concerned that maybe you won't fall asleep. So, just parenthetically, so what's the difference? How come we don't really make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah, and we do make a bracha on mapil chevli shena? No? Obvious question. Right? Anyone with me? Thank you. So this is an interesting question. So this is discussed in the Bir Halacha. It's a big discussion. I did see from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, perhaps to explain this difference. Why do we find that we make a bracha on Hamapel Chevle Shena, even though maybe I won't fall asleep? However, we don't recite a bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah. Zuck Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I mean the El Yerab already discussed it, the Bir Halacha has a kash on him. Reb Chaim Kanievsky takes all that into account, and now he gives his own answer, that perhaps the reason why is simply, when I go to sleep at night, I might not fall asleep in the next 10 minutes, but I will fall asleep at some point. It's not possible for a person to stay up forever. So I make hamapel chevli shena because I assume that at some point I'm going to fall asleep. However, when it comes to sleeping in the sukkah, what's the halacha? Let's say it's raining, pouring outside. Do I go to sleep in the sukkah anyway? Do I eat in the sukkah? No. That's mitzdar patim na sukkah. So let's say you have a person who goes to sleep in the sukkah and he can't fall asleep. So in the end of the day, do we tell him, no, suffer. Sit outside, sleep outside, even if you can't sleep, too bad. Figure it out. No, we'll tell him after a certain while that he can't figure out how to fall asleep. Tell him to go inside, go sit in a nice, warm, comfortable bed, and you'll be fine. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that's simply why we don't recite a bracha. When you make a bracha, hamapel chevli shena, you're going to fall asleep at some point, so your bracha is not going to be a bracha levatela. If you might make a bracha, lishon basukkah, well, in the end of the day, if I don't end up falling asleep in the sukkah, then it turns out my bracha is a bracha levatela. Be it as it may, says the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch. Let's take all of this back into our discussion about Bedikas Chametz. For those who remember where we started, we had a discussion about Bedikas Chametz, whether one should put out 10 pieces before reciting the bracha. Maybe it's going to be a bracha levatela. Says the Vilna Gaon, well, do you make a bracha hamapel chevli shena every night before you go to sleep? Yes. Says the Vilna Gaon, why do you recite that bracha? Because you assume you're going to try to fall asleep. Aye, what if you don't fall asleep? So the Vilna Gaon says, well, I did my best. I tried, right? So what do you want from me? God told me, make a bracha before you go to sleep. He doesn't allow me to fall asleep for whatever reason. Tonight he doesn't want me to sleep. You did what you have to do. I'm doing my part. I make a bracha, I try to go to sleep. It doesn't work out, so too bad. It's not a bracha levatel, I'm doing what I can. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the same thing over here, by Bedikas Chametz. I'm going ahead and doing what God told me to do. I'm going and checking my house for chametz. It might turn out that I don't find any chametz in the house. So what are you going to say? It's a bracha levatel? No, it's not a bracha levatel. It's just like a mapel chevli shena. The same way, over there, I did whatever I could do, and now I move on with life. So too over here. I do whatever I can do. I check my house for chametz. If it turns out I don't find anything, so too bad. It doesn't make my bracha lebatala. And therefore the Vilna Gaon writes that there's no reason to go ahead and put out the 10 pieces of chametz. He disagrees with the Ramah and he feels the Ramah is incorrect. Why do we have to go ahead and put out these 10 pieces of chametz? There's no chashash bracha lebatala. The same way we find that we're not worried about a bracha lebatala when it comes to hamapil chevle shena by going to sleep. And a third place we find this is with regard to the mitzvah of setting up dinei Torah. We have a mitzvah b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. We have a din shoftim v'shotim titen lecha b'chal sharecha v'shoftim v'sam mishpat tzedek. We have a din to set up a legal system. We have to set up batei dinim. In fact, not only that, we assume that there's an iser arkos. One is not allowed to go to court for no reason, unless you're dealing with somebody who's impossible, who's never going to listen to a bezin. So we have extenuating circumstances where it might be mutter. But generally, we assume that one is not allowed to go ahead and enter a din Torah, a discussion, a disagreement that's with someone. You can't enter into the non-Jewish legal system. We have our own courts. We have our own batei dinim, and we're supposed to go to our own batei dinim. So what happens? The Rishonim ask, how come when I sit down to do a din Torah, how come if I'm one of the dayanim, why don't we recite a bracha before we begin the Beis Din proceedings and say, Asher kedushanim ha-mitzvos ha-vitzivanu, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. We have a din, we have a mitzvah to set up a legal system to make sure that our community is safe, that our community is just. So why don't we recite a bracha before we sit down and go through the proceedings of a din Torah? So the Stechemed writes in the name of the Rokeach. The Rokeach is one of the Rishonim. What's the reason why when I build a makkah on my roof, there's a mitzvah to build a fence around the roof that nobody should fall off. Why don't I recite a bracha when I build a makkah on the roof? I'm doing a mitzvah. Torah tells me to build a makkah on my house that no one should fall off. Ki yipa anofel mimenu. So why don't I recite a bracha before putting up a makkah? So he says the reason why is because what do we say every time we make a bracha? Asher kidushanim b'mitzvos ha-vitzivanu. Says Tosas and Menachos. What does it mean? What is the meaning of those words? Asher kidushanim b'mitzvos ha-vitzivanu means the reason why I'm doing this is because God put a kedusha into me. And only because God gave me a kedusha am I going ahead and doing this act. But when you have a non-Jew, does he put up a fence on his roof? Of course he does. Why? Because he also doesn't want his children falling off. He doesn't want his visitors falling off the roof. So therefore, the Rishonim write, when I'm performing a mitzvah, yes, I might be doing a mitzvah, but when I'm performing something that a non-Jew would do as well, you can't say that we're singled out, Kedushanim mitzvos v'tzivanu, and that's the only reason why I'm building a makkah. No, the reason you're building a makkah is, yes, God told you to, but also, common sense would dictate that, and that's what a non-Jew is doing as well. So therefore, says the Rokeach, you can't say Kedushanim mitzvos v'tzivanu. So too over here, one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach is that the non-Jews should also have a legal system. They should also set up dinim. That's one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So therefore, when I as a dayan sit down to set up a bezdin, when I sit down to make a society, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, how can I recite a bracha and say, Kedushan mitzvos v'tzivanu? The only reason why I'm setting up a bezdin is because God instilled in me a kedusha. What do you mean? You're setting up the bezdin because we need to have a just society. We need to have a legal system. And that goes cross-spectrum. In all worlds, we need to have a just society. We need to have democracy. So therefore, you can't recite a bracha, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, because this, in fact, is something that does not only apply to Jews, it applies to non-Jews as well. The Klei Chemda writes about this as well, but I just want to get to the main answer, and that is what the Rashba writes in a tshuva. Says the Rashba a different answer. You want to know why we don't recite a bracha before performing a din Torah, before we start the proceedings? You want to know? The reason why, says the Rashba, is because chayshinan, Shemalo yikablu habali din aleihem asadin. How can you recite a bracha asher kedushanu mitzvosu tzivanu al b'tzedek tishpat amisecha? How can you make such a bracha? What do you mean? Maybe the bali dinim are going to be so angry with the outcome. They're going to be so angry with the psak that I give, and we have no way of enforcing it in America. What do you mean? I'm going to go and enforce my psak that I paskin in a bezin? So he'll say, oh, what do I care about you? So you made a psak? Forget it. He's going to walk away. And because perhaps the two sides won't listen to the psak that I'm giving, therefore, I cannot go ahead and recite a bracha on such a mitzvah. So again, you find a similar context, and you have achronim that ask on the Rashba, how can you say such a thing? We already find by the mitzvah of hamapel chevle shena that we recite a bracha, even though we may not fall asleep. Why? Because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm making my bracha before I go to sleep. My plan right now is to go to sleep. It might not turn out to work the way I wanted it to work. I might not fall asleep. So what? That's not a bracha levatela. And similarly, we find by Bidikas Chametz. We have a right to make a bracha, even though we may not find. Not necessarily do we have to put out the 10 pieces of Chametz, and therefore also over here. How does the Rashba say that one is not allowed to make a bracha before a Beis Din proceeding begins because maybe the Balei Dinim are not going to listen to me. What do you mean? Even if they don't listen to you, did you do the right thing? I'm a Dayan. I'm sitting on the panel of Dayanim. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Now, it turns out in the end of the Psak, one side is not going to listen to me. Too bad. Let them not listen. But I did what I was supposed to do, so I can still recite a bracha. So this is a very rich topic, a very interesting idea. And that I thought would shed a little bit of light on this halacha of putting out the 10 pieces of chametz. So let's go a little bit just for a couple of minutes, and then we'll get into Rabbi Weinberg. A little bit more about Bedikas chametz and about putting out the pieces before we begin. Al derech hamachshava. So the Radvaz, one of the Achronim, writes in his tshuva, Sha'alta mimenu odiacha daiti. He writes in response to somebody who asked him the question, you want to know from me, Ma nishtana chametz bepesach mikol yisurim shebetorah. Why is it that chametz bepesach is different, so fundamentally different, than all other mitzvahs in the Torah? Why does the Torah come along by the mitzvah of bedikas chametz and tell us you have to go and check every little part of your house? Maybe it's over here, maybe over there. I have to destroy it from anywhere where it might be in my property. And I'm violating isurim de'araisa, isur kares. We don't even say the isur is a kazais. We say a kolshu, and mashu of chametz is already a violation. Says the Radvaz, we never find such a concept. That we're so machmir about anything. Why is it that we find such chumras when it comes to chametz? So the Radvaz goes into a whole halachic discussion. And then in the end, uncharacteristically, the Radvaz in the end says a little machshava over here. He says, Hilkach, adayin tzarech tam. Yeah, I could give all the lamdas and all the explanation and all the halacha, and but we still have to explain it. Says the Radvaz, says the Radvaz. You want to know why? Because Chazal tell us, ki hachametz bepesach rizli yetzahara, as many of us may know, v'hu asar shebe'isa. Many svarim talk about this. The Zohar HaKadosh is quoted as saying the same thing, that we know that chametz bepesach is a reference to our own yetzahara. Our yetzahara is referred to in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin as the sa'ar shebe'isa. It is the inflammatory evil inside of us. And therefore, when we have chametz, sort of when we do the Bedikas Chametz, we talk about that idea that perhaps we're supposed to try and extract from ourselves that Sa'ar Shabbi'isa, that Chametz, that piece of evil, inflammatory evil that's inside of us, we're supposed to extract it as well. And that's what Bedikas Chametz is supposed to remind us of. That is what the Radvaz writes, why we're so careful about Bedikas Chametz, why we go so above and beyond. Because even a mashu of evil inside of us is something that can destroy us. And he writes that this is why even a mashu of chametz on Pesach is something that's critical, it's consequential, because it's something that we take seriously, because of the significance that it gives to what we're all about. They say a story about one of the previous visions of Rebbe's, that after he used to go, it took him hours to go and check his whole house for bedikas chametz. So they write that after he was done, he would call on his whole family, and all of his talmidim and everyone would stand there, and he would open up his jacket, and he would say, okay, we finished our job now, but now the job is beginning. And he would open up and say, now it's time to do the bedikas chametz inside this jacket. Now it's time to do some introspection and to figure out inside of ourselves, yeah, it's nice to look around. You go around the house and you do this and you destroy that, and it's very nice, but now it's time to turn into ourselves, to open our jackets figuratively and figure out what is going on inside. What do we have to be bodek for? What do we have to look for inside of ourselves and figure out what we can perfect, what we can change? And in fact, if you look in the psukim, before they did the first Karban Pesach, what does the pasuk tell us? Vayikra Moshe lechol ziknei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu calls to all of the elders of Jewish people. Vayomer aleim, and he says, Mishchu kechu lachem tzon lemishpachoseichem v'shachtu apesach. He gives them this directive. Go ahead and bring, Mishchu kechu lachem, simply translated, bring for you a Karban Pesach, bring it into your house, and then you should offer it. Says the Medrash, Mishchu yideicha me'avodah zar. Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them. The prerequisite before one goes into a Yom Tov of Pesach is Mishchu Yudecha Me'Avodah Zarah. Yes, nowadays we don't have Avodah Zarah, but we have our own forms of Avodah Zarah. We don't have the real Avodah Zarah, but we have our own problems that we think about. We have our own things inside of ourselves that no one else has to know about, and it's no one's business. But we all know that we have our own Avodah Zarah somewhere deeply rooted inside of ourselves. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Ziknei Yisrael. Before you think about entering a Yom Tov of Pesach, before you think about going through the whole process of shechting a Karban Pesach and all that that means, Mishchu Yideicha Me'Avodah Zarah, make sure that you remove from yourselves all of that evil inclination, all of that inflammation that's inside of you, and make sure that all of that is eradicated before you begin to discuss an opportunity for having a Yom Tov of Pesach. So this is our job at this time in the year to think about that. In fact, the Divrei Chaim writes from the Rupshitzer. It's a play on the words, but it's a beautiful insight anyway. He says, when we say in Kiddush all the time, Tchila l'mikroi kodesh zecha l'yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says, Tchila l'mikroi kodesh means our first step toward Kedusha, our first step toward bringing ourselves to a higher reality, to a higher style of living, is zecha l'yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember what happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Jewish people, as we know, were on the Memtes Shari Tuma. They were at the bottom of the barrel. They were a lot lower than anyone else that we might possibly know. And yet, says the Divrei Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them, Mibira Rama Le'igra Mikta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them from the depths of the depths, and He raised them up in 49 days to be Roi L'Kabbalah Satoru. Look how far they came. None of us are holding in the place where the Jewish people were at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, says the Rupshitzer, when we want to think about Mikroi Kodesh, when we want to begin a journey toward bringing ourselves toward Kedusha, we should just remind ourselves, we always have a chance to perfect ourselves. We always have a chance to make things better and to take something out of ourselves that might not belong there. It's not so difficult. Look what the Ribbono Shel Olam did to the Jewish people at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. He took them from the lowest of the low and He raised them up to be Roi L'Kabbalah Satorah. So a very beautiful insight in the name of Reb Shula Belzer, who was one of the previous Belzer Rebbes. I think he was the father of Reb Yisachar Dov of Belz, where the first Mishnah writes him Sachim. Or la'arba asar, bodken as hachametz. What does that mean? The night before Pesach, bodken as hachametz. We go and do bedikas chametz. Said the Belzer Rav, I don't understand. One can make a very simple diuk in the Mishnah. Why do we say or la'arba asar, bodken as hachametz? It should really say or la'arba asar, the night before Pesach, bodken as habayis mipnei hachametz. We check out the house to see if there's chametz in it. We don't sit and look at the chametz, we sit and look at the house to figure out if chametz is inside. So why is the Mishnah use a lashon, or la'arba asar bodken as hachametz? It's not the proper lashon. Says the Belzer Rav so beautifully. He says, as we've been saying, that chametz really is to make us think about what's inside of ourselves, our inflammation, our wrongdoings, our problems that we have to fix, that we have to take care of. Says the Belzer Rav, it's not good enough to extract and to eradicate, to unearth and to isolate all of these problems that we have inside of us. That's not good enough. To do tshuva and to realize that we can become better people, that's not good enough. But after we do that, after we take out that chametz from inside, after we do that tshuva process, and it may be difficult, but after we are successful in doing so, we have to not only do that, but we have to make sure that we scrutinize, that we dissect that piece of chametz that we took out. Or labra asar bodken as hachametz. You have to look into that piece of chametz carefully and figure out, how did I get there? How did I make such a mistake? How did it happen? This didn't happen overnight. What brought me to this point? Elokim asas adam yasher. We were all created to be straight, not to have all these problems. Yes, we make mistakes, but once we figure out what those mistakes are, we have to actually look at them and make sure that that never happens again. And that, says the Belzer Rav, is what we mean, Ar la'arba asar, bodken es hachametz. We don't just look in all the nooks and crannies of our homes and figure out where the chametz might be hidden, but even after we do that, and we take out, we extract all the chametz from ourselves, we have to sit and look at the chametz and scrutinize it and figure out how are we going to make sure that such a problem never happens to us again. You know, we spoke about the idea of putting out 10 pieces of chametz, and Rav Asher Weiss once told me a beautiful insight that perhaps you can talk all the halacha, maybe it's the right thing to do, maybe it's the wrong thing to do, maybe we do have to do it, maybe we don't have to do it, and we have concerns about bracha levatala. But Rav Asher Weiss suggested that perhaps the idea over here is that we are supposed to show that very often we blame our problems, we blame our shortcomings on the outside factors, on many other circumstances. We say, well, I grew up in this community, I grew up in this family, and my parents had this problem, and they sent me to this yeshiva, and unfortunately I was in the gimel class, and I had this Rebbe, and he didn't teach me this. You have all sorts of excuses, and they're all wonderful. But very often we forget about the fact that we sometimes create our own problems. That very often when we end up in a bad place, it's because we put ourselves there. It's not always based on outside circumstances. It can't always be blamed on the yeshivas and our parents and our families and our communities and all the outside circumstances that we might be faced with, because very often we are responsible on our own for getting ourselves into the pickles that we're in sometimes. we create our own problems. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss suggested to me that perhaps that's why we put out the 10 pieces of chametz, to show that it's not always that the chametz just ended up there. Very often the chametz was placed there by none other than ourselves. And it's 10 pieces of chametz, it's not one. Very often we have problems inside of us that we created. And we fail to look sometimes at where these problems came from, as we said. We look at the problem, we don't look at the root of the problem. We focus on the outcome, we don't look on the process of how we got there. So perhaps when we come to the time of Bedikas Chametz, we come to this week, and we have this opportunity to take out the Sa'ar Shabi'isa, to scrutinize ourselves, to think about the fact that we have a lot to analyze. We have a lot to figure out. We have a lot to think about. And to wonder, how did we get to these places where we are? Both for the good and for the bad. How do we get to the wonderful places where we find ourselves? And how sometimes do we unfortunately get to the places where we really shouldn't be? And we know inside of ourselves that we shouldn't be there. And to always remember that Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Tchila L'Mikrei Kodesh. If we want to begin a journey for ourselves and take ourselves out of our figurative Mitzrayim, out of our Shibud, out of all of our things that are holding us back from becoming better people, just remember, as much as one might think that he or she has shortcomings, just remember Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just remember where the Jewish people were holding when they came out of Mitzrayim. And remember that if it's possible for them to go on the journey that they went through, to begin at a stage where you're on the Memtes Shari Tuma and elevate oneself to become Roy L'Kabbalas HaTorah, an event that we've never had again in history and never will have. Such an exalted evening, such an exalted experience. If we want to have that, and we saw the Jewish people do that, then it's certainly possible for us to do it as well. So I wish everyone, may Omek Halev, Chag Kosher V'Sameach, as we say in the White Shul, for those who are staying home, a Chag Sameach, for those who are going away, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and enjoy Rabbi Weinberg, everybody.